Hello, Chuck Swindoll here. On behalf of my wife, Cynthia, and all of us at Insight for Living, warmest Christmas Eve greetings to you, my friend. I'm pleased you're along for today's celebration. Today we'll be unwrapping God's gift to mankind, His inexpressible, His indescribable gift. And as you enjoy today's message, would you be thinking and praying about what you might give toward our ministry here at Insight for Living? Believe me, these are critically important days for us, and your well-timed, generous gift of affirmation would mean so much. At the end of the message, we'll give our contact information. But for now, let's thank God for His indescribable gift.
Well, you can almost hear the crinkling sound of wrapping paper ripple across the country today as families celebrate Christmas Eve together. Welcome to Insight for Living. We're glad you've joined us for this special holiday edition. When you go to the dictionary and look up the word gift, you discover this definition. A gift is something bestowed voluntarily and without compensation. During the next half hour, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll look at several New Testament passages to see how this definition applies to the greatest gift of all. He's titled today's message, Unwrapping the Gift. And we begin, appropriately, with prayer.
Thank you for your gift, our Father, your one and only Son. You could have given, and you have given us many things, but nothing compares to your Son. He is, in fact, the indescribable gift. Unable to be put into words, we haven't even sufficient praise to extend to Him. We haven't enough songs to sing to Him, or enough prayers to offer up to Him. But we who have been the recipients of your grace gift extol you today. We worship your Son, Jesus, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. We have discovered that no one comes to you except through Him. For there is one God and one go-between between God and men. It is the God-man, Christ Jesus. Today, our Father, we are thankful that we have this land in which we live. We enjoy a measure of peace within this country that is not known in most other countries. We know it does not come cheaply, but as a result of those who defend our freedom. We give you thanks for all today who wear the uniform of our land. We especially thank you for those in distant places, located in villages and towns we would even struggle to pronounce, where we will personally never be. But because they are there, we're able to be here without fear. We ask that you would mean much to them today, and may you fill the loneliness of their hearts and remind them that even though they may be away from home, they are not away from you. You could not be more present there than you are here, for you are everywhere at once, the same. We also thank you for this season of the year that draws our hearts, especially to spiritual things. May that occur today as we unwrap this special gift you have given. May we understand it better. May we respond to you more willingly and urgently. We do all of it because of your indescribable gift, Jesus, in whose name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
You're listening to the Christmas Eve edition of Insight for Living. Remember, you can find resources online at insightworld.org. And now Chuck Swindoll to continue the message, Unwrapping the Gift.
As brilliant as the Apostle Paul was, and no doubt a brighter mind never was on this earth, spiritually speaking, aside from the Lord himself, than Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he has been for two chapters, this context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, so important. He's been writing about giving, their need to give to God's work, and he gives him one illustration after another, and each one must do just as he purposes in his heart, not under compulsion. Remember, it's voluntary. For God loves a cheerful giver. The word is hilarious, giver. And then Paul is thinking about that subject, and he comes up with the classic example. There is none better. But when he uses the example, he realizes, I don't have an adjective I can use to describe the gift. So would you believe in this 15th verse of 2 Corinthians 9, he coins the term. Thanks be to God, Paul writes. Thanks be to the Father for his, there's our word, indescribable gift. Even though God says it's indescribable, we preachers spend 30, 40 minutes trying to describe it to everybody else. And when we're all through, what a pitiful job we feel we have done trying to help you understand more deeply and profoundly the gift. So I check the words of others. Not surprising to you, my favorite was Spurgeon. In a sermon he preached titled, The Gift Unspeakable, Spurgeon gets to this statement, his indescribable gift, and declares this. The church has produced scholars whom it has called divines and described as eminent theologians. From these teachers, we have no doubt received help in the exposition of the word, and yet, if we put them all together, they have never been able to unfold to us the entire meaning of the gift of the Son of God. Keep listening. It gets better. God is very gracious to let his dear Son be seen at all through such poor, narrow windows as we are. Poor work is our best preaching concerning the adorable Lord Jesus. But this one thing we can say with respect to him from our very hearts, that he has filled us to the full and satisfied us. Then he offers his advice. Hold a theology which magnifies Christ, a divinity which teaches that Christ is God's unspeakable gift. I believe in an infinite God, an infinite atonement, an infinite love, infinite mercy, an everlasting covenant in all things sure, of which the substance and the seal is an infinite Christ. Christ is all. Christ is unspeakable. That's the gift. And to think that some on this same Christmas day all around this country will be preaching about giving presents to each other when we have the gift of all gifts that has been voluntarily bestowed and without compensation, handed to us out of love, knowing that he would ultimately be crucified. William R. Noel got it right. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, that's eternity. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man, that's nativity. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span, that's Calvary. That's our Savior. That's the reason this day is like no other day. We need a couple of crucial questions answered before we're through, related to this gift. First of all, how was the gift wrapped? If God's going to give us an indescribable gift, the wrapping must be incredible, unbelievable, ineffable. John chapter 1 helps us unwrap the gift. If you'll turn there next, you will find words that are located nowhere else in all the Bible. John has spent about 30 years longer than the other gospel writers, maybe 20, 25, and he's had time to ponder. He's given thought to the whole story and why some would say he wrote 50, 60 years after the others wrote. John, the beloved disciple, begins by focusing on Christ, but he doesn't start at his birth. No other gospel begins like this one. He begins where there is no beginning. Isn't that an interesting way to put it? He says, in the beginning was the Word, but actually there's no definite article in the original Greek sentence. Literally, and arche en halagos, in beginning was the Word. In beginning. A beginning. If you'll allow me, in a beginning which really never had a beginning. Now, you stay with me long enough, you're going to be totally confused, okay? But I'm trying hard to keep it simple. But I got to be accurate with what this is saying. In fact, look at the word was. I sound like one of the presidents. Depends on what the word was means. What's was. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Was. All the way through, these are words for eternity. He's wrapped in eternity. If I were to give a paraphrase, in a beginning which really never had a beginning, eternally existed the Word. Before I go into that further, let me identify the Word. Look at verse 14. The Word is the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. One of my mentors used to say, he pitched his tent on earth for 33 years. Isn't that a good way to put it? Now, what's interesting is the Word became flesh. There is a beginning of flesh. That was when the sperm and the egg connected. And the womb of Mary became the depository of the most valuable gift God would ever give. So he had a beginning as far as flesh is concerned. But when you go back to verse 1, you see that there was an existence that never had a beginning. John 1 takes us all the way, way past matter, way past the planets, way past the galaxies, all the way into eternity past. The vacuous, profound presence of the Godhead. Only the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit existed. Co-eternal, co-existent, co-equal with one another. One in essence, three in persons. I know, we can't ever fully grasp it. We have a hard enough time grasping eternity. I mean, we use the word lightly. Oh, he's been around since eternity. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a simple little illustration I've used over the years. If you were to have a sparrow that flew every 1 million years to a world-size steel ball and whetted his beak on the ball, and then flew back, and then another 1 million years later came and again. By the time he wore the ball down to the size of a BB, eternity has just dawned. You are doing the right thing right now. You are sitting in silence. Such thoughts are mind-boggling. We know age. We know old. We don't know eternity. It was his existence throughout all the past. Then when time began, then the worlds were created and the planets and the galaxies, and all of that ran its course right up to Nazareth. When the angel said to Mary, "You will conceive and bear a son." At that moment, the one who has been existing throughout eternity would now be reduced to an embryo, a fetus, a baby. In a beginning that never really had a beginning, eternally existed the Word. So he's wrapped in eternity. He's also wrapped in equality. He is with God. A word that ties in with the whole idea of being co-equal. One is not more deity than the other or less than the other. What is amazing about Jesus, if I may rush ahead to beyond the resurrection and to the ascension, he is the only visible member of the Trinity and will be the only visible member of the Trinity. He will still bear the marks of his earthly journey with the scars. The only scars that will be in heaven will be those in his hands and side and feet. He was in the beginning with God. And then John comes to creation. He says all things were made through him. So he's wrapped in deity. He has the qualities of deity. I mean, he is omnipotent. Omnipotent. He has created all things. Maybe you never thought of that. God the Father planned these events. God the Son implemented the events, and God the Spirit empowered them. So that working together, we have what we call today our lives, our land, our families. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, let's get this clear, says John, nothing came into being that has come into being. How much clearer can you get? He is wrapped in eternity, wrapped in equality, wrapped in deity, wrapped in omnipotence. And the good thing is, verse 14, he is wrapped in humility and humanity. The Word became flesh. Different word from was. He was in the beginning. He was with God. He was God, but you get to verse 14. He became flesh. Became the most unique person who has ever lived on this planet. The God-man, two natures in one person forever. That's the Son of God. That's the gift. That's the one God carefully wrapped and bestowed voluntarily without compensation. Why, how could he have given a price to it? No amount would qualify. So that's how the gift was wrapped. How was the gift unwrapped? That's the next question. How was this gift received? Now, to the person who isn't familiar with the story, you would think, oh my, the one who had made all things, the one who had represented the Father, the one whose glory could be seen along with grace and truth, the one who did no evil, the one who had no sin, the one who was the perfect Lamb of God. How was he received? How was the gift unwrapped? Why, they must have clamored for him. On the contrary, verse 10 tells us he was in the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. You know why? Of course, many of you know why. He wasn't what they expected. Well, what did they expect? Well, they expected a mighty warrior, a ruler who would come brandishing a sword, riding a white stallion and leading the armies of heaven against Rome and giving Israel back their flag and their freedom. But he didn't come like that. There was no stallion. There was no sword. The only sword was what came in the hearts of those who were pierced by his presence. He came preaching grace and mercy. Those virtues were unheard of in a Roman world. The only virtue admired was strength, brutality, conquering. And here comes this. Where's he from?
Nazareth, Bethlehem.
Even one of his own disciples yet to be said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Years ago, you'd have called it a one-horse town. It was a dump. Messiah reared in Nazareth. In fact, there were those in the village at Nazareth who noticed Mary's in maternity clothes before they figured she should have been. Yeah, we know about him. We know who our Father is, said the Pharisees. And Jesus had the audacity to say to them, "My Father is God."
All this historical background gives us better context and deeper appreciation for Christmas. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled Unwrapping the Gift. For resources, go online to insightworld.org. We'll hear more from Chuck in just a moment, so please do stay with us. He's here in the studio to chat with us. First, though, we want to remind you that time is running out to receive your copy of the new book called Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. Many of us are using this 300-page hardbound volume to give us direction in the new year. It's not only the kind of inspirational writing you've grown accustomed to reading from Chuck, but it's also a handy 26-week reading guide through the book of Proverbs. Be sure to make your request for the book Living the Proverbs when you give a special end-of-the-year donation of any amount. If you're listening in the United States, you can call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Well, if you follow Chuck's radio ministry for any length of time, it's likely you've made contact with us. And in doing so, you've begun to receive the personal letter that comes from Chuck's pen. Well, the recent letter described a rather familiar scene. To explain, Chuck is with Insight for Living board members Roger Kemp and Mary Graham.
Chuck, I just received your letter, and I really cracked up at the imagery you created. Stepping on a crowded elevator. You know the scene?
Oh, yeah, I remember. Just like it's yesterday, we were... A couple of us guys had finished at an evening meeting. We were going to go to our room at this hotel, and the elevator opened, and it was virtually packed. And the people gave us that, you're not going
right.
to get on.
Look,
and
please.
Of course, we got on, and I let them get on first. I'm the last one. I can almost feel the door closing against my back, and they're all looking up at the numbers and looking at me like, why on earth did you get on this elevator? And I said, you folks might have wondered why I'm calling this meeting tonight.
Right.
And they, of course, it turned into a terrific opportunity. They all started talking to each other, of all things. Aren't elevators weird? You know, you almost touch and often are touching the shoulders of the person next to you, but everybody's looking at the numbers, saying nothing. It's like there's a big sign that says, no talking, no smiling, no touching, no eye contact.
I'm so glad that Jesus ignored that sign, aren't you?
Exactly. It's helpful to remember that Jesus never took the elevator. Tell you the truth, our desire to follow him is to live the same way and deliberately to reach out to people's lives who are crowded into spaces that they would not have chosen and then have an opportunity to give them the true message of hope. That's what we do. That's how we do it. So let me encourage you listening today to get off that elevator and to reach out to those who are near you with the good news of Christ, because He is the only life-giving source. And by the way, to help us do that, your gift is all important. Never think it's not that important because it's not that large. Let's face it, to some people, $50 is a huge amount of money. To other people, $5,000 doesn't represent a sacrificial gift. So your amount isn't what's important. Your involvement is. So step up, be a part of us, and never forget we are forever grateful for whatever size gift you can give.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll's request. You can give a donation online at insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call right now 1-800-772-8888. And when you give a donation today, we'll say thank you by providing a hardbound copy of Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. This book by Chuck Swindoll, 300 pages in length, will make a welcome companion in the new year as you pursue growing deeper in your walk with God. When you give a December year-end donation, request the inspirational devotional book, Living the Proverbs. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. Join us Christmas Day when Chuck Swindoll concludes the message, Unwrapping the Gift, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Unwrapping the Gift, was copyrighted in 2011, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.